This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 167. It is the 26th of November and it's just gone 6:30 in the evening in the UK. And I'm here. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conquers3 on X. And I'm here with my brilliant co-host, Henry Viola Hare. You can find him at HT Viola on X and also on LinkedIn and on Blue Sky app, as you can also find my good self. Henry, how are you, sir?
I am very well, Peter. I am I'm all the happier for the sky not falling in after today's budget. I was expecting doom and disaster, and actually things don't look as bad as they might have done.
Yes. Just so individuals know, if they've managed to miss it all, today was the budget of budgets. And I think invariably, lots of stuff got leaked weeks and weeks in advance. This morning, some stuff got leaked by the OBR.
5 minutes before she went on air.
Yeah. And apparently there's footage of her getting a little getting a phone put to her going before she started MQs sort of thing. So it's going to be very interesting if you hear of some individual being sacked by the OBR. But yeah, so I've got a couple of stocks that are linked with parts of the budget. The idea Henry and I had for today's budget was to talk about small cap winners. So we're looking at stocks that were sub £500 million in market cap, which would be absolute tiddlers for the US, but it's small caps for us. So we were looking at winners, potential winners, but I've decided to tweak that a little bit by looking at three stocks that potentially could be winners. That are below that market cap and have been in and around the fringes of what happened with the budget. I've got a few headlines here, Henry, if you want to just, you know, follow me through some of these and share what you want to share. And most of you by Friday, we're recording this on Wednesday, the day it's happened. And most of you will be hearing all about this between now and Friday, and it'll be all over the weekend papers as well. So let me just flash through this, Henry, at a glance, right? Okay, you ready? Minimum wage, hefty rise to £12.71 an hour for workers aged 21 and over. So that's your apprenticeships and tenures going in Gallagher's. Tax thresholds, freezes dragged to 2030, forcing millions into higher bands. Yeah. So everyone's complaining that you might as well be working at McDonald's rather than, you know, at Gallagher's on 50 grand a year because you're getting taxed off the yin yang. Yeah. Now, the one that pains Henry more than anyone else that I know, alcohol, fresh raid on booze has duty to rise in line with inflation, Henry.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Okay, right. That's blotted her.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that one in a minute. Or shall I go to that one now? Yes, Henry, this is where it's going to hit you, right? So this depends on your favourite tipple. Red wine, Merlot, duty price rise is going to go up 13%. White wine, Sauvignon Blanc, if I pronounce that correctly, 10%. Sorry, 10p, a 10% rise, not 13 pence. 13 pence rise, 10 pence rise on white wine. Gin, 38 pence duty rise on that. Yeah. Scottish whiskey. Going up on that one, Henry, as well. What we got here? Let me just get this out of the way. Something's going on with my phone here. 39 pence on a seven. These are all 75 or 70 cl, so less than a litre. 39 pence on a 70 cl bottle. What else we got? Prosecco, 11 pence on a 75 cl bottle of Prosecco, 11 pence gone up. Lager, a four pack, 330 mil, 6 pence, and tuppence on a four pack of cider. Henry, thoughts on that?
Not the best news I've
ever
heard.
Is it a late night shop tonight? You're going out tonight,
yeah,
going to late night
exactly.
shopping before the
Exactly. I'll be
prices
going
go up.
raiding Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I think everyone should start the shop tonight, mate. Online, get your orders in. Yeah, get your orders in.
This, in fairness, this wasn't as bad as I was expecting. And I wonder if a little bit of Rachel Reeves's strategy around this has been to scare everybody so much over the last few months, delay this so far towards the end of November, that by the time we got here, anything would look better than what we were fearing.
Possibly. Let me just go through the rest of the list here, mate. Tobacco and vapes, pack of 20 to rise to £17.74. Now, maybe I'm going senile here, but I'm sure when I was a kid in school and the naughty boys and girls were smoking, that a pack of 10 cigarettes, 10 I'm talking now, were a pound.
Yeah, that's been a long time ago, Peter,
That
I
was,
think.
yeah,
I
Emmy, I'm
mean,
talking a long time ago, before you were born, mate. Yeah, before you were
the
born.
average gentleman was smoking a pipe at the time, I believe.
Exactly. Right. So this is the big controversial one, Henry. Two-child benefit cap scrapped, and it's going to cost taxpayers £3 billion. So essentially, what was happening before was you got child benefit for two kids, capped at that, no more. So what if you had three or four, you didn't get any more money. They scrapped it now, and the argument is that there's some families who are on benefits already with two plus kids are going to be getting enhanced payments now for having X amount of children that are working. So that,
Yep.
anyway, we'll go into that. I don't want to make it too political, this podcast. State pensions are going to go up £575 next year, but millions we're going to face, the pensioner is going to face taxes on that, on some of their monies. Relief for punters as racing and bets and bookies are spared, but online gambling has been hit, and I'll go into that a bit more. Now, another controversial one, Henry, and I know you've got this absolute mansion and or is it pied a terre, whatever the word is, they pronounce that, right? Mansion tax. You heard about that one?
I have
Wealthy
heard about
homeowners
this one.
getting hit,
I
raised
have
for a new
limited
annual
sympathy on
charge.
this one, I'm afraid.
Your
Limited sympathy.
£2 million pad, Henry, is going to cost you more every year going forward.
I would suggest if you can afford a £2 million pad, you can probably afford to pay a bit more.
I think you and Verity may have to start letting out the east wing of your
Exactly.
pied a
Exactly.
terre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casa del Viola Air is going to have to be let out.
Right. This is the one that I do not understand. Given that the Labour government and the previous government before that were trying to promote and encourage us to get off the roads or get electric vehicles, right? You were going to pay no road tax on your electric vehicle, right? You're going to get lower cost of your, oh, I say fuel, your energy to run your electric vehicle. Now it's saying EV drivers are going to charge 3 pence a mile road tax. So if you're doing
They are
10,000
still on
miles a
the road.
year, if you're doing 10,000 miles a year in your EV, you're going to pay £300 road tax
You
from
are
not doing
still
anything.
using the road. You're still wearing holes in the concrete. You're still causing congestion.
I agree, and some people like you will say about bloody time too, but I'm
It,
not
it,
sure what that's
it.
going to do for EV sales. I was going to say, bugger it, I'm going to go back and get cheaper. What's it called? Petrol drive driven car.
Petrol car.
Cash
Forgotten.
ISAs. Cash ISAs limited to £12,000, Henry, from 20.
Again,
What's your thoughts on that one?
I think if you've got enough money to be putting £12,000 a year into an ISA or £20,000 a year into an ISA, I'm not entirely convinced you need the subsidy from the government in order to do it.
But isn't the point of the cash ISA and the stock ISA at 20,000 to encourage you to save for a rainy
It
day,
is,
or
it is.
plan and invest
But
in small in the companies in the
My
UK?
suggestion would be if you're putting 12 grand a year into cash, saving that, you'll save it anyway. And I
Okay.
suspect, I mean, in a world where, let me, I can already sense the knives coming out amongst the audience here because of who we're talking to. So let me just paint a picture for the audience before you all lynch me on Twitter. We are, as a country, in pretty dire straits. I don't think most people in this country actually realize how poor we are relative to countries like America. Our income per head as a country is vastly, vastly behind the US. But we are trying to live as though it's still 1910 and we've got an empire and a huge economy. We don't. We've not got the world's, reserve currency status. Sterling is long gone as a reserve currency for most of the world. Even the euro outpaces us to some extent. And therefore, you have to start making difficult political choices. Now, there are some elements of that budget where I think, what? Really, I mean, removing the two-child cap, is that the best use of £3 billion we've got right now? Wouldn't it be better off going to nurses or doctors or teachers
Agreed.
or
Agreed.
funding more ambulances? Or, I mean, Russia's invading Eastern Europe right now and has been for several years, and we haven't got enough bullets to fight them off, let alone soldiers to shoot the bullets. Would it not be a better use of money than paying people to have three, four, five children? So there are elements of this budget where I go, I don't necessarily agree with it. And I think broadly it comes down to this, it's a difference in view about what taxation's about. I view taxation as a deterrent from undertaking activity. If you tax something, you increase the cost of it, and therefore people will do less of it. So if you tax employment, if you increase national insurance, you will decrease the demand for employment. People will offer less jobs, they will reduce salaries because it is more expensive to undertake employment. So I think under those circumstances, yes, increase smoking tax, increase alcohol tax. These are damaging things to society. If you want to do them, you ought to pay a price for them. Likewise, road tax. It costs money to have the road there. We've got potholes all over the place. How do you expect to fill these potholes in without money to fill them in? Every driver I know is whinging about potholes and has been for years. So more money going into the road fund, great, as far as I'm concerned.
But Henry, the point is, will the money go into fixing the roads?
Well, now, and this is the bit where everybody on the left, every Labour voter, will tell me, yes, of course they will, because Labour are the only people in the government, in the Parliament, that ever do anything for the working people, right? The Tories are all
That
evil.
budget,
Tories are
this
just
budget
all
doesn't
criminals.
do that at all, mate. So I think that's long gone, that argument.
Labour are the only ones that ever look after anybody. I don't believe that at all. So I agree with you. I'm a little bit sceptical about where this money will be spent. But having said that, an extra tax on mansions, £2 million a year, right? A property worth over £2 million a year. I am sorry, but I don't know anybody that even comes close to having a property worth £2 million a year. Not even close. And I know plenty of people that earn good salaries. If you've got a property worth that much money, yeah, I suspect you can afford to pay a little bit more, and you probably should.
But should you have to?
Should you have to? But then the question comes, so where are we going to make the cost savings? Because all
No.
I hear from Labour, and bear in mind we voted them in with a huge majority, all I hear from Labour MPs is no, we're not making cost savings. No, we won't. We want the child cap removed. No, we don't want to cut pensions back. No, we don't want to get rid of the winter fuel allowance. No, we don't want to reduce money for migration. We don't want to reduce money for the NHS. We want more money for civil servants. We want more money for teachers and nurses and doctors. They want to spend, spend, spend. And if you're going to spend, 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 that's the party we've voted in. And therefore,
You're
it has
gonna
to
have to
be
find the
paid
money
for.
somewhere. I get that. I get that. I get that. I get that, Henry. I get that.
And so, actually, I came into this budget. I came in this morning thinking, oh my Lord, she's going to hike national insurance even more. It's already crippling the jobs market, what she did last year. Please, please, please don't make this any worse than you already have. Now, the one big thing in here that I am not that keen on is the imposition of national insurance contributions on pensions. Not because I don't believe the individual should pay them, but because of what it is going to do for the cost of employing people. So at the moment, you employ somebody on X salary, let's say £100,000 a year, and they put 20,000 of that into a salary, into their pension through salary sacrifice. Neither the employee nor the employer pays any national insurance contributions on the money that goes into the pension. Now, some employers, not all, some, choose to give their national insurance contributions that they would have given to the government to the employee to further top up what's going into the pension. Now, the government is saying anything over £2,000 will be taxed at the full marginal rate of national insurance, which in some cases will be as much as 15 pence in the pound for the employer. This is several thousand pounds extra it is costing to employ exactly the same person when this comes into effect. This is, I know why she's done it, but I don't think it's going to have the effect that she wants it to have. Taxes are a disincentive. They're not just an income stream.
Yeah, I've heard that mentioned, Henry, and the problem we've got with that is that the actual recruitment of the junior levels of people is shrinking. The pool of jobs that are there to entry level sort of jobs is now shrinking because the cost has gone up everywhere else within the business. They're saying rather than taking on some new starters, some new graduates, four, five or six, we're taking in one or two now instead. So that's going to have a knock-on effect regarding the whole career pathway for certain individuals. They're going to do a degree here, proper degrees we're talking about now, to get into X, Y, and Z business. There's going to have a pool of young people who can't get on the, never mind the property ladder, the employment ladder, the career ladder, as a consequence of that. So, yeah, it's going to have a significant knock-on effect, mate. I agree with you.
I did say I might have sounded a little negative there, and I did say actually I didn't think this was as bad. Now, the reason I say that is because the first thing I did when this budget came out was go and look at what the 10-year gilt did. Did the yield go up or did the yield go down? And the yield is firmly down. And what that means is that the markets are now buying gilts. They're not selling them off. They are more confident in the government's ability to pay back the debt it is borrowing. The headroom that Rachel Reeves has got has doubled. She's more likely to hit her targets. The income versus the deficit ratio is now more secure. And so I think actually, although it's painful in places, I think this was a fairly well-judged budget. And I may be eating my words in 6 months, but
we'll see.
I mean, I came away from it quite relieved in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I was looking at it. I was tracking just the FTSE and seeing what they were saying this morning. And this morning, it got off nicely, but mainly due to what happened in the US overnight. So that was a positive sort of impetus for the markets. But then late morning, it dipped to its low of the day. And then as she began talking, and I'm not sure whether it was whilst or during the leak of the information was coming out, the markets started to go up. And the FTSE actually ended up near its high today and closed at its high of the day. So let's see if this follow through tomorrow and also Friday, because the US markets will be shut. So we have to do it on our own steam. So that should be very, very interesting indeed. But I'm going to talk about a couple of stocks, Henry, and one of them's linked to the gambling levies that have been decreed. But the other thing I want to touch on, we spoke only briefly a couple of days ago, I think, about your holiday was it Corsica? Santorini.
Santorini.
Another place that you and I both love. And one of the things that's going to happen is holidays, cost of flights to rise with a new levy and overnight stays in the UK. So you can't even go and have a little, you know, a weekend away without the cost of the hotel overnight stays going up, Henry. So anyway, right. So one stock today popped, Henry, right? And it was deemed to be a Rachel Reeves winner, right? Until you read, people just saw the headline, right? And the headline was bingo tax abolished, right? So one of the companies that are involved in that space that's listed, although there's many, is a company called Rank. PLC, Rank Group.
Right.
Yeah. Significant company. It's been around for a very, very, very long time. I'll read the headline as it states here, Henry. In her second budget, Rachel Reeves announced a package of measures reforming gambling taxes. While she hiked taxes on online and remote gambling, she left others alone and reduced one on promoters of one of the nation's favorite pastimes. Bingo duty is a 10% tax on profits of bingo operators after winnings paid out have been deducted. From next year, it will be abolished. From next April, remote gaming duty on tax on online casino style games like roulette will almost double. So you see the difference here. Yeah, roulette, online gambling up. Bingo tax 10% down, right? And abolished. Rank shares, Henry, went up 10% in the blink of an eye, right? Share price range for rank 75 pence in April of this year and ran up to £1.66 in July, just a couple of months later. Then the talk was going to have a budget in November. They're going to come after you, online gambling duties, more taxes on betting and gambling per se. Today, abolished, right? So everyone's cheering. Everyone's buying rank shares this afternoon. I'm reading the small print and going, that doesn't read right to me, right? After the close of the market, Henry, there's a statement from Rank PLC, Group PLC, impact of the autumn budget. This is the small print that people don't read, right? And I'll read it as per se. Rank Group PLC notes the increase in remote gaming duty, RGD, and the abolition of bingo duty announced in today's UK autumn budget, effective from April 2026. The total annualised impact of these additional costs on the group operating profit is a reduction of circa 40 million before mitigation. You hear that word, mitigation? You ready for this now?
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
The annualized impact of UK digital business of the increase in the rate of RGD from 21% to 40% will have an additional cost of circa 46 million. So you lose 46 on there, you gain 46 on there, you lose 40 on there. Offset by the 6 million benefit arising from the abolition of duty. So they're now, almost breaking there. The impact that really is going to hit them, though, Henry, is the one I touched on before, the increased cost of the employee. You still with me, Henry? Look like you're frozen. I'll carry on talking. Henry's frozen on the screen there, folks. And that's the national insurance minimum wage of £12.71, representing an additional cost of 5.5 million, along with other charges that were within the company's expectations, Henry. So basically, you've got a situation here where they are going to be reporting a burden after the budget. This is not what people have seen. They've immediately gone and bought it because they've heard bingo tax abolished. Rank is going to face a burden, additional burden from the wages and the other remote duty expense, totaling ish 40 million that they're going to have to try and mitigate. If they can mitigate that, happy days. But that's one of the stocks I wanted to speak about that I think potentially one to watch to see how they navigate the budget. Is it going to be a FTSE small cap winner? I think it's too early to say.
It's interesting because I've just pulled up their income statement on ShareScope.
Yeah.
They were loss making in 21. They made a 50 million profit in 22. They lost 100 million in 23. They made 12 million in 24, so they'd have been loss making with those taxes that year. Yep. And they made about 40 million this year. So they would have made a profit 1 year out of five with those additional costs.
Yeah. So it's a difficult place to be, mate. You know, and they've been struggling, you know, with regards to, since COVID, really, people going back into the bingo halls and all the rest of it. So where are we at? It's got a forecast PE of 11.6, a PEG of 1.15, ROSH of 10.8%, as above the 3-year average of 0.3, So they've been improving that. Forecast growth of 20%, which might be dented now because of these new issues of tax. And did I say the yield on it? Yeah, forecast yield of 2.6. So not too bad. Last 2 years, well, 5 years, 2021 was up 12%, the shares. 2022 down 47.5%. 2023 down 8.4%. 2024, a bit of turnaround, up 14.7%. And so far in 2025, it's up 37%. So not too shabby the last 2 years, but we'll see what happens to see if it can continue into 2026 and whether it can navigate that burden of the 40 million quid that it's going to have to find and mitigate. So yeah, so that's an interesting one, Henry. I think it's one to watch. I suspect some of that 10% rise today could be eaten away tomorrow once that impact news actually is read by other people that bought it today, thinking they had a bargain. When's the last time you played bingo, Henry, if ever?
About 15 years ago, with my uncle's father,
Right, okie dokie, okie dokie. There
I
you
have
go,
had a go.
bingo, bingo, bingo. Yeah, so that's an interesting one. I just wanted to share with people to have a look and navigate. I've got two more that are linked to Rachel Reeves's budget that I'm going to share. Where do you
I
want to
like
go with
it.
this, Henry?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, what we're effectively looking at here is, it's coming back to this theme of trying to find unloved, undervalued companies.
Yeah.
And I think I honestly believe the UK stock market is just packed with these, especially when you compare to global peers. And if you're willing to have a look around and do your research, not just through something like ShareScope, but watching shareholder videos, and AGMs on YouTube, reading the annual report, going to investor events where you get to meet the management teams, doing your research. You can find some really interesting names. I mean, the Rank Group, for example, that we've just talked about, RNK, it's not a name I know at all. I've walked past their businesses on the high street, but I wouldn't have ever thought of it as a business to go and invest
Okay.
in. So really, really interesting name. I mean, I took the approach of trying to find, trying to focus on quality first of all. So businesses that have got, as usual, a good return on capital employed, let's say
Yeah.
10%, that's my kind of benchmark for
Yeah.
businesses that pay a good dividend, so sort of 4 or 5%, I would say is a good attractive dividend. Much higher than that, and I start to get a little bit nervous that I'm missing something in the price. You want something that's also not priced particularly expensively. So, single digit price to earnings ratios, 4, 5, 6 times earnings. So I put in a threshold of anything under 10. So really we're looking for PEs of single digits. And
Okay.
things that are priced on price to net asset value of less than one. So in theory, it comes back to this idea of buying a pound for 50p. So I whacked this into ShareScope, and we go from, £1,500, 1,500 names on the London Stock Exchange, down to 1,300, down to 1,100, and so on until we got a handful. And one of the ones that jumped out at me was a company called Spectra Systems. The ticker's SPSY,
Yeah.
which I suspect some listeners will have heard of before. They manufacture and market technology-based products to authenticate and process banknotes, and also offer security software products for gaming. Now, the share price has just fallen off a cliff the last couple of years. If we pull up the ticker on ShareScope, it's gone all the way from a high of over £2.50 back in 2024 down to its current share price of about £1.30. It's lower than it was back in 2020. I think even in 2020 it was over £1.50. So it's really not had a good time. And you can see why. I mentioned banknotes. How many people still use banknotes? I do, but I think I'm one out of 100.
I like my cash, mate. I like my
There you
cash.
go. But it's a declining thing. Shops
Yeah.
increasingly won't accept it. There are fewer and fewer ATMs around. You know, I suspect you and I will be the last two in England still using bank notes
Dinosaurs.
at some point. And so their revenue streams are facing difficulties. But it got me thinking about alternative applications for that technology.
Oh.
And so, you know, in a world where we're getting increasingly worried about the Chinese and global supply chains, you know, what's going into the technology in our phones? How do we know it's safe? How do we know it's secure? How do we know it's reliable and well manufactured? What if you could use the technology that Spectra Systems develops to authenticate the supply chain? Now, I'm not suggesting that's where they're going to go, but what if they did? What if there's someone out there in the world that sees that potential and could figure out how to make it happen? Because you can buy the shares on a forecast PE of 4.5 times against a 3-year average of 15. So this is derated massively. It's on a price to earnings growth ratio of 0.1%. It's one of the cheapest companies out there. And it's still actually forecast to grow. So forecast turnover next year is forecast to grow at 5.5%. Earnings per share are forecast to grow at over 100%. It pays a yield of 6.8%, and it's got a positive return on capital employed of 23%. So this is actually a very, very healthy business despite the headwinds it's facing. And, you know, I don't know that there's a deal to be made. I don't know if you could apply this technology in this way, but it's the sort of business that it wouldn't surprise me if in the next 12 months or the next 18 months, somebody pops up and goes, "Well, you valued this at 64 million. That's the market cap. We'll give you 100 for it." You know, shareholders would
Interesting.
snap it up and off you go.
Interesting, 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 Henry. I've got to say this though, with regards to authentication on supply chains, the talk and the research and everything that's going out there is preeminent on AI and blockchain, a combination of being utilized to track, monitor, verify, authenticate goods and services. And I think that's going to be more so blockchain, but I think you're talking about adding something
To
into
the physical goods.
into some physical goods.
See, my problem with the AI blockchain solution, because I agree with you, that was where my mind first went. That's what blockchain is for. So it's literally a distributed ledger. Every
Yeah,
computer along the supply chain hosts the
absolutely.
same server. If you tamper one of them, if you tamper one ledger along the chain, the others will reject it because it's not authenticated or authorized. The problem is that's all virtual. You've still got a physical good, a physical asset in the real world. There is no link between the data on the computer and the physical thing in front of you. So
Yeah,
maybe
I
there's
suppose
a.
so. I suppose the thing for me now is that you've only got to look at the tagging that's going on regarding certain goods and goods that are on lorries and shipping and all the rest of it. Now, how expensive does it get when you've got to tag every single book, every single, you've got apples with little codes on now, So yeah, it's an interesting one. Will somebody go and buy it for the alternative use rather than build from scratch? It's a possibility, I suppose, Henry. I've not actually considered that before. I know one of our listeners on here, Pat, he's actually called Nick Slater, Pat Vieira on X. He's held a stock from, I think, from 17 pence ish. Held it for a long time, way, way down there. It was completely unloved. I think it went to 2.5 quid or so, recent years, and now it's fallen back and halved again. I think he still holds most of it. It's an interesting co. It's had its reasonably strong run, but like you say, it's halved in the past year and a bit. And it was only just today a bit of news came out on it, Henry, because I actually posted out this morning. I didn't know you were going to talk about it. And it was up this morning 4% to £1.31, having, been declining forever. And that was because they had a contract win for $6.7 million for maintenance of sensors over 5 years from next year, kicking on from next year. Let me just see if I can see the RNS here properly.
I've got it.
The RNS was
So,
saying
yeah.
Spectra Systems Corporation, a leader in machine-readable high-speed banknote authentication, security printing, and brand protection technologies and gaming security software, is pleased to announce that it has executed a 5-year service agreement with a customer for maintenance of existing sensors, as well as the new generation sensors, which they're replacing them with. So that should be interesting. But that's another little contract they've had, which helped the shares bounce. It's quite illiquid as well, isn't it? As a comp
Yeah.
stocks
Well,
volume wise.
it's because it's so small. I mean, it's sub 100 million. And these businesses can really, really fly about. You don't need a lot of activity for them to shoot up or to drop down. Likewise, if you've got a large seller, if you've got somebody that's got a couple of hundred thousand and want to get rid of the position, that would absolutely crater a share like that.
Okie dokie. Right, I'm going to take a pause here, Henry. Good stock, interesting one. Let's see what happens with it going next. If they get some more interest in the stocks and a few more contracts, maybe we can have some more illiquid pops like that going forward. But buying it to change what it does, not sure. Not sure. I'm sure somebody's writing code on that right now and doesn't need to purchase it, even though it's only a small cap company. Now, Henry, we are in November. And it's Thanksgiving soon in the US. I think it's either, is it today or tomorrow? Is it today or tomorrow, Thanksgiving for the US?
Tomorrow, I think.
Tomorrow. Usually ties in with the US having their shopping spree, which is Black Friday. Yeah, coming up in 2 days' time. The UK has adapted that. And we are able to offer our listeners a share scope Black Friday offer. I'm going to read this as I've got it here, right? And it's a fantastic offer actually, which will start today. You guys will be hearing about this on Friday. It starts on Wednesday the 26th of November and closes on midnight. Do not wait until 1 minute past 12 on the 18th, because it will shut at midnight on the 17th of December. So it starts today. And the offer will feature across the website as well. So here's the offer. It's a fantastic offer, by the way. Annual offers here. And it is essentially ShareScope annual subscription with 30% off. So it's £275 for the first year. The normal price, folks, is £393. Yeah. ShareScope Pro annual subscription again, 30% off the Black Friday offer. Normally £909, the first year is going to be 636. Yeah, and this is available to new subscribers or returning subscribers who haven't subscribed in the last 12 months. And this is available for ShareScope and ShareScope Pro only. And as I said, it expires. I've got two different dates here. One says the 7th of December. I think we'll probably be that rather than 17th. And you can contact the team directly or go online. The wonderful thing is you're able to use it using a promo code. And this is what you need to remember, folks. It is all small letters, TPBF25. So Tango Papa Bravo Foxtrot 25. And you can utilize that promo code to get this limited offer. And what do you get with ShareScope? Anyway, Henry knows this. He's been in Cambridge putting on a show for some well-heeled individuals. He'll tell you about that a bit later on. UK, US, Canadian, and EU stocks all included as standard. Funds, investment trusts, exchange traded funds, ETFs to those, global market indices, commodities, bonds, Forex, cryptocurrencies, live news, RNS, and alarms. That's alerts for other people, not waking you up. Alerts to RNSs. Live US and Canadian news and alerts, unrivaled filtering and stock screening, superior unlimited portfolio management with analysis, including X-ray filters. You can use it anywhere on the Windows PCs and laptops, MacBooks, iPads, Android tablets and mobile. And it's got a huge suite of financial charting and technical analysis tools. And this is one of the beauties of ShareScope as well. You get free one-to-one training when you start with an expert to help you get a quick and up to speed on the advantages that you can get across all the different screenings. So live real-time UK prices on ShareScope Pro, live retail US prices, live AQSE prices, ITs, ETFs, corporate bonds, and the rest, mate. And some people were asking about Alliance News because that's now being charged. People are being charged to see Alliance News. You can get Alliance News, including 275 articles a day. So yeah, so go to www.sharescope.co.uk/sharescope and add in the promo code TPBF25. Alternatively, go to www.sharescope.co.uk/sharescope pro and decide what you want to buy. Add it into your basket. Enter. Or if you want to speak to a human, Henry likes to speak to a human, don't you, Henry, every now and then?
Absolutely.
0800 052 1515. There you go, Henry. Black Friday offer. What do you think of that deal?
Spot on. Spot on. It's funny that you mentioned about Cambridge, because I was going to come on to that in a little while. But as we're here and talking about it, the reason I was in Cambridge, I was actually invited to present to a shareholder meetup or an investing meetup run by a group called Signet. Now, for those of the audience that don't know, Signet are a friendly retail focused investing community that run little investing meetups all over the UK. I can almost guarantee that there will be one local to you almost wherever you are in the country. And the whole idea is to meet up with like-minded investors, talk about investing, what's going on the market, to ask questions from other investors, and to try to learn a little bit, you know, the way that Pete and I do the Twin Peaks podcast in a similar sort of manner. Now, I was invited along as the guest speaker for one of the Cambridge groups, and I had a very, very nice evening. Hello to Roger and the others, if you are out there listening. I know a few of you said you tuned into the podcast. Thank you very much for having me. It was a real pleasure to show you the ShareScope platform yesterday. And the whole reason I was there was not really as a traveling salesman as such, and I did make that clear. I'm not on commission from ShareScope. But just to show how I use the tool and to allow people to ask some questions about it and how I find it. And so when this offer came through, the offer came through for Peter and I moments before I began to present. I've never actually seen such an enormous discount for ShareScope. It's vast. It's 30% off or something bananas. It is well worth it. If you are considering getting ShareScope, please do go and use that code. The support team are fantastic. If you've got any questions about how to get set up, they are there, they're available. I even said to the team at Cambridge, you know, if you've got any questions, you can even write to me. I can't guarantee I'll know the answer. There are lots of things I don't know. I'm not an official support person for ShareScope, but if you have got questions about how to use it or it's not working the way you think, I'm happy to brainstorm some ideas with people. And the team at ShareScope are fantastic at getting people up and running. So yeah, do take advantage of that offer if you're thinking about it, because it won't be around forever.
Absolutely that. We need to get on to a few stocks again. And I'm going to try, I've spoken to Henry about this, trying to do something special for Christmas. I need to just find some time to sit down and sort it all out, and we can look through the ShareScope screens again and show you some of the things that we're looking at regarding filtering. Obviously, some of you have seen what we've done at the Investor Summit and also at Master Investor Show prior to that regarding filtering and looking at stocks. So we can do a bit more of that going forward. Right. Should I do this now? Yeah, very, very quickly. We've got the Twin Peaks Charity Challenge, which runs out until the end of December. We're around 80% there. We are shy £832 right now to get to that 5,000 limit. So anybody and everybody who can donate a pound, you know, if all 3,500 of you, 3,750 of you dropped a pound in, we'd be nearer to £8,000. But just needs a 800 of you to donate a pound, or 80 of you to donate £10, and we'll be hitting the 5,000 mark for the charity challenge that we're utilizing this year to support young people into gainful employment, which is going to get even more difficult now after this budget. So please, please, please consider making a donation if you've not already done so. And if you've enjoyed any of the pods in the past 6 years and you've not made a donation yet, then please consider doing so. We're sitting at £4,168.41 at present, towards our £5,000 target. We've had two donations in the, well, three donations the past month, which is a bit low, really. But we take what we can. 7 days ago, we had a donation, a wonderful donation, by an individual that decided to be anonymous, or remain anonymous, should I say, and donated £120 plus £30 gift aid. So whoever you are, thank you ever so much. We really, really appreciate that. So very, very, very kind of you. Really, really appreciate it. And then we had a second donation, and this person's utilized the name Squash Doubles. So Squash Doubles, whoever you are, thank you ever so much for your donation, which again was an anonymous donation. So appreciate that. So that takes us to 4,162. If you can make a donation, please, please, please do so at www.justgiving.com/page/Peter-Higgins. That is the Twin Peaks Memphis Just Giving page, to support disabled young people. And it's also coming up to Christmas. So if you want to do a good deed and make a donation, that'd be very, very welcome. Henry, what do you want to say?
I mean, that donation of £120 from whoever that was is awfully generous.
Brilliant. Absolutely great.
Every donation is gratefully received, but that is really quite something. I mean, we do get some people that listen to the show, and I am blown away by the generosity. It's a big sum of money that, and it's very, very gratefully received. We've only got a few weeks left before the end of the year, and you know it's not easy. Nobody's exactly sitting around with oodles of money to just give away. If anything, we're trying to look after the money we've got on this show.
Indeed,
But if you
indeed.
can donate a few pounds before Christmas, please do consider it. We usually get a couple of hundred listeners on YouTube alone. That listen to the show. We've had 48 supporters, and some of those are duplicates. That includes
Yeah.
Peter and I in this camp. So we know you're out there. We know you're listening. We love the fact that you enjoy the show. We love the fact that you come back and you comment. If you can, please do consider going online and donating a few pounds at justgiving.com/page/Peter-Higgins. All donations are very gratefully received.
Yeah, thank you, Henry. And also thank you for everybody that's retweeted, reposted the pod in the past couple of weeks and given us some absolutely fantastic feedback. The conversations that Henry and I have had over the last three or four pods has been so well received. The psychology ones, the selling ones, the investing in all kinds of different stocks. And it seems to be reaching some new ears. We're really, really pleased regarding that, and the fact that you're listening in so many varied countries as well is really, really pleasing to hear. So thank you all for your continued support, and we will try to maintain that going forward for you, ladies and gents. Henry, over to you, sir. Have you got a second stock you want to share?
I do. Well, my second company is a it's a it's a construction related business. It's Somero Enterprises, ticker's
Okay.
SOM. They provide concrete leveling systems. I think I might have talked about them once before. They've
I
got a
think so, yeah.
whole raft of different screening machines and topping spreaders, and they're international as well. The majority of their revenue comes from North America, but they've also got sales across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Now, the business has had a huge derating over the last couple of years. It's really, really struggled, partly due to the outflows, institutional outflows from the UK, partly due to headwinds in the construction industry, partly due to the unloved nature of UK shares. But it's gone from an all-time high of 550 pence back at the end of 2021 down to nearly £2 today. It's at £2.32 pence. Now, this is a business that is facing challenging times. You know, the UK economy is having a tough time of it. The US economy is having a tough time of it. Despite the stock market, there are a lot of headwinds. And so forecasts don't look great. You know, we've got a nearly 20% decline in forecast turnover next year and a 35% decline in earnings per share. So this is not a super healthy business that the market sold off for no reason. I'm in a bit of a challenging time. Despite the return on capital employed is still very healthy, nearly 30%. And it's got strong free cash flow conversion at nearly 80%, slightly over 80%. Now, free cash flow conversion to me is quite an interesting metric because it's the cash that's left over after capital expenditure, interest paid, and taxes, I think it is. It's basically the money left to run the business after you've paid your bills. And it's also the money that can be used to pay dividends, which I quite like. It gives you an idea of sort of profit quality because, as I was saying to the ladies and gentlemen in Cambridge last night, you can have paper profits that on a platform like ShareScope will show up as a return on capital employed figure, but never actually get turned into cash due to the way that profits are booked and cash moves through the balance sheet. Now, if a business doesn't actually have cash, eventually it goes bankrupt. You need cash in the bank in order to operate. And so a high free cash conversion is quite attractive to me as an investor. Now, Somero, despite these headwinds, is quite cash generative. It is a healthy business. It pays a good dividend, 3.5%, not the highest in the world, but a good dividend nonetheless. And again, I could see a large multinational conglomerate coming along and buying this business and bolting it onto a larger manufacturing type outfit. One of these big multinational US conglomerates that sells 10,000 different types of widget, for example, Honeywells, for example, although I think they're more into automation than hardware manufacturing. And they might come along and they might just buy the different tools and technologies that Somero produce and sell them as their own. And so this again is the sort of business on this valuation having come down this much. I would not be at all surprised if in the next 12 to 18 months, if this doesn't re-rate, if some foreign predator comes along and snaps it up off the UK stock market.
I'm not convinced, Henry. Not convinced with this one. It's one of them stocks that has been around for forever, and it's going to make monies. It's going to make profits. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And invariably, it's so cyclical, this particular company, and it's the new regime in the US has created another layer of uncertainty and tariffs. And I'm going to talk about another stock that's in a similar sort of position with it, which I think equally you won't like. But it's one of those sort of stocks, I think. It goes, it's maybe not, it's not even about it being too small. It's the fact that there doesn't seem to be enough of a sales lead being generated for them to keep ahead of all the different travails that they've got. So they've got that constant sort of revenue coming in. And when they go back to earlier this year, when they warned about this and warned about that, and they said there's a shortfall of 20 million quid or 21 million quid or whatever. That was prior to the levels of uncertainty and tariffs and all the rest of it being hit. And I haven't seen, I'm looking through data now, I'm looking at what's going on. I haven't seen a contract win. I haven't seen a this or a that. I haven't seen any major things happening regarding the company. The only people, and this is, I'm not taking the pee here, buying the shares is themselves. And the share price is still declining. You know, transactions in own shares. Yes, they've got a buyback going on, but the volume is still low. The only people buying the shares are them. And they're using what cash they've got and being generated to reduce the share count. And the share price is still going down.
Well, I'm going to challenge you on that, actually.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Go on.
Because I've just, the CEO bought £191,000 worth of the shares. The CFO bought £105,000 worth of the shares.
Yep.
The executive vice president bought £130,000 of the shares. And a non-executive director bought another £75,000 worth of the shares. So management, you know, does appear to be buying.
That's going towards 500 million quid then, yeah?
Yeah. Although, actually, I'm just going to caveat that. I admit that's my eyesight going because I'm tired. I said earlier this year, I'm wrong. One of those was earlier this year. That was the non-executive director. The others were early last year.
Right. So the rest of them last
early
year.
24.
If you ever look at the share price that they bought, all of them have bought their £500,000 worth. £500,000 worth that. They're all underwater, those purchases. I've not looked.
Oh, well.
I would guarantee.
Yeah, they were buying at about £3. It's now just over £2.
Right. So just over £2, bought at £3. We've all done it. We've all bought, and the share price has declined on us. So that. But normally, when you see £500,000 worth of shares being bought from insiders, you and I should be thinking, we should be following them. They know what's going on. And on this occasion, on four occasions they've been buying from last year to now, they've not got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see, Henry, and I'll put it on an alert on ShareScope for me, an alert that says, so Miro Enterprises Inc. has won a contract or they've done something other than the alerts that I'm seeing on here, which are they're buying their own shares.
Yeah. And that's,
because
that's
as I said to you before, that 3.5%, as I said to you before, whether the yield is 5%, 10%, or even in this case, 3.5%, that divvy is meant to keep you comfy and warm whilst you're waiting for the share price to go up. You don't want it falling more than 3.5%, 5%, 10%, 20%, 30%, 50% over the course of 12 months, because that 3.5% yield and dividend is not going to keep you warm when you're down 47%.
And this, it's interesting you have this reaction to this company, because this brings me on to something that I was actually asked last night. So I talk about my investing journey and I talk about Warren Buffett and liking Warren Buffett. And yet an awful lot of the metrics I talk about these days are quality over valuation. Why is that? I was asked. Now, the reason is because I find it very, very easy to find cheap shares. There's no shortage of them on the market. If you filter for PE under 3, you'll find dozens. There's a reason they're cheap. They're NAF companies. And so your immediate reaction of going, hey, look, you know, revenues going into reverse, the forecasts aren't great, they've slashed the dividend, and. A couple of years ago, I'd have gone, yeah, but look, it's cheap, it's fine. I'm buying a pound coin for 50p. You're not at all. You're buying a 50 pence piece for 50p. And in a couple of years, it'll be worth 40. It's just that you're looking at it through a very, very narrow lens of value.
Yeah, I've been at fault at that
So
myself, Henry,
actually,
many a
over
time.
time, I've started looking more at quality and historical quality as well. How's this business performed over a couple of years? So it's interesting you mention that. Maybe this is old tendencies creeping back in.
I think part of it though is it's got some quality metrics there, Henry. You're looking at you, and I think sometimes our eyes go, and you've caught me out so many times on this. I'm looking at all these metrics are there. There's 10 metrics there, and I'm plumbing for those three quality metrics that I like. The other seven metrics there are shocking. And what do you do? You go, Pete, what about these other seven metrics that are absolutely, naff, to use your words? And that's how we've got to look at the not this narrow lens. We've got to go like that. Yeah. And if we do that, I think whether it's small caps or blue chip stocks, the wider we research a stock, and I know that I'm paying people with this, right? The wider we look and the wider we look and the wider we look regarding a stock, I think the more we are able to decipher and filter the better quality ones, not just the quality ones, but the better quality ones. And therefore, we make fewer and fewer mistakes. And if we make fewer and fewer mistakes, we can enhance the actual compounding percentage of our portfolio and get to where we want to get to a bit quicker. Because that 0.1% added over 100, well, not 100 years, 100 different trades or investments, which invariably we're going to make three or four each year, I think most people will do, adds up over 25 years. And that could be a difference between compounding your portfolio by 5% a year or 1% a year. Right. So I'm going to go and do a quick one here. I'll come to the time. I've got two stocks to talk about here. And this one came out yesterday and surprised the market. I'm speaking to publicans and people that are in hospitality all the while. I went down to London the other week, and my very great friend, Sam Hagger, who runs a chain of pubs called the Beautiful Pubs Collective, was actually in the train, on the train, not with me. And I went, what? Well, we traveled down to London together in a fab time. And he was literally going round the corner from me at Paternoster. So we ended up traveling across London as well together. I was going to London Stock Exchange. He was going around the corner to meet somebody else. But he was telling me about how shocking it is regarding hospitality, pubs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Henry. And we've got Wetherspoons. Everyone talks about Wetherspoons, how really profitable they are, but even they are struggling, right? To the point where he's using, Brexit vote Brexit, he's now trying to use the EU to actually profiteer from the rules that are the EU accepted, but not the UK accepted rules. So that's quite interesting. Yesterday, Henry, a company I'm talking about, Marston's, the pub chain, came out with some fantastic news, mate. Ticker symbol's Mars. Lovely. And they got to keep it as well, not the people in the US. Right? They came out with total revenue of 897.9 million versus 898.6 year to date. So slightly down or flat, we would say. However, underlying profit before tax, Henry, was 72.1 million. That was plus 71.3% year on year. You're going, where does that come from? Like for like sales for managed pubs was up 1.6, outperforming the market. Growth of 2.2% for food and 0.3% for drinks. The CEO said, strong year ahead of planned. Yeah, so they're ahead of their plan for the year. Recurring cash flow. This is one that a number that you like. That's why I put it in here, Henry. I know you like this one. Recurring free cash flow of 53 million, 53.2 million was reported ahead of its 50 million capital markets day target, while net excluding lease liabilities fell also by just shy of 50 million. and down at nearly a third since 2020. Now, this CEO has only been the CEO since January 2024, and he's really been kicking all the efficiencies and profitabilities into the company as best as he possibly can. He's called Justin Platt, and he said, another year ahead of plan, and the new pubs formats are performing exceptionally well, meaning we enter 2026 with significant momentum and confidence. The shares, as I said yesterday, popped, and they went up 16% at one point yesterday, and we're at a 3-year high for a pub chain, even outperforming the likes of Wetherspoons, JD Wetherspoons. But they're faced now with new levies, Henry. So I just want to be quick on this one. And it's a case of tomorrow, share price fell today about 1% or so, is if tomorrow they can maintain that momentum, or will the news about the levies on the vodka, the gin, the booze, everything else actually impact that particular company? It's only a small company, but they're fighting the good fight in the hospitality business. And they came out with some good news on Tuesday. The budget's come out on Wednesday. Would they have popped if they'd given that same result today? I doubt it. So what are your thoughts on that one, Henry? I'm conscious of the time. Can you hear me,
Henry?
I
really like it. I mean, again, I'm always nervous. Yeah, I'm always nervous about retail brands, if I'm honest, you know, high street facing businesses, but this looks like one that's doing well. So a lot to like there, Peter.
They're turning it around. He and the team are turning it around as best they possibly can. So it is quite an interesting one to watch. And I picked it as a theme regarding the budget. It's a $364 million market cap company, forecast P of 6.5. Yeah. Not much, if anything, regarding divvies while you wait, as far as I'm aware. But it's one of them. I just think if it can turn around, and you need a winner in that space. There's not that many winners in the hospitality and pub space. Well, we've got last 2 years, share price up 30%. This year so far up 30.7%. 52-week low of 33.3 pence. And yesterday it hit 60 pence plus before it settled, just shy of that. So not too bad a company, I think, to investigate further if they can navigate all of the things that are the budget and all the different levies and taxes on booze and actually employees' costs, national insurance, as you say, and the weekly and hourly rates of pay. So that's what I want to talk about. The last one I want to talk about, Henry, very, very quickly, and this is, again, in the same space as the one that you were speaking about, difficult, uncertain times, tariffs impacted the company. Yeah. And this, I've picked this one because we're at that time of year where everyone's going out, all the ladies are dressing up, going out, they're buying their friends, they're buying stocking fillers, they're buying lots of different additional stuff. This company, Henry, is a UK-based, I should say ladies, but other people as well are buying cosmetics for their partners as well. It's a UK-based cosmetics and personal goods company, Henry, with a market capitalization of around 165 million. It's called Warpaint London. I think we've spoken about it before. Ticker symbol W7L.
Oh, I've heard of this one, yeah.
Yeah, and the share price is down, Henry, 65% year to date. PE of 9, yield of 6.4. So whilst it's at the bottom or near the bottom of its 52-week range, you might get 6% yield whilst you wait for it to turn itself around. If it has a bumper Christmas of sales, the share price will be above the £1.79 it closed at today. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. Everyone knows. It says what it says on the tin. But US tariffs and international exposure has impacted it. Macro conditions have impacted it. Cost pressures has impacted it. Everything has impacted this particular company. One to have a little research of. Have a look at it. Come back and tell me what you think on Twitter/X. 52-week range of nearer to £6, now sitting nearer to sub £2. It's one to have a look at. Is it a turnaround story? Possibly. Is it one can go lower? Absolutely could. And will Henry buy any of his cosmetics for his good wife from W7L? I don't know. But that's just one I thought. Low PE, 6.4% yield, lots of tariff noise, lots of macro noise, challenging environment. Is there a turnaround story here on discretionary spending and people buying over Christmas? Thoughts, Henry?
Again, I'm a little bit wary of this one.
Yeah,
just
thought you
the
might be.
Retail element of it. But it's a good business. You know, it's got some good metrics behind it. It's a good brand. It's got good momentum. And you, again, I've kind of got the view of this that you could end up with a big national, international buyer coming along and going, "We'll just take the brands. We'll take the brands and off you go."
Possibly.
You know, and it's one of those areas I struggle to see why it ever happens, but it happens all the time. You know,
It's got lots of shorts been squeezing the stock as well, Henry. And Schroders, who held it when the share price was going all the way up and higher, have been unloading it near the lows and continue to offload it at the moment. So that's impacted the shares as well. Any sort of good news would squeeze the shorts out and pop the shares above £2 and may even stop Schroders from selling out completely from the stock. It's got a good Roche on it of 37%. As I said, the yield's quite good on it, but the pre-tax has been getting squeezed and squeezed over the last few years. So there's big red on the pre-tax and earnings per share of the company. So yeah, there's a few concerns there. And as you said, rightfully, it had a really good run from 2020. It was up 7% in 2020, 2021 up 105%. 2022 up 13%, 2023 up 111%, 2024 up 38%, and then it's just fallen off a cliff since the middle of last year in 2024. Yeah, down 65%. It's literally back to where it was in 2021. So is there a turnaround story there? I do not know, but want to investigate. So that's all my small caps that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple that I had, which were just for reference for you guys and ladies and gents to go and have a look at. One of them was, ticker symbol is FXPO, Ferex Pro, or is it Ferex Po? Yeah.
Forexo. It's an iron ore something.
Iron ore company. And the reason why I want people to keep alert of that one, because it could pop at any time, is that if the noise around the Ukraine-Russia war is one of a peace deal actually being brokered, that peace deal could lead to that share absolutely popping. So that's one to keep an eye on. It's not necessarily that much of a small cap, but keep an eye on that. The other one I would mention as well regarding the other markets have actually not gone crying off and hitting major lows today would be Pension B, because lots of people are going to look at what this new budget is saying about savings, investments and so on and so forth, and potentially going out there and arranging and sorting out and navigating what their pension possibilities and potential could be. So Pension B, ticker symbol PBEE, could get some attention and get some more work and so some more mandates. There you go. I'm done. Any thoughts on any of those, Henry?
Spot on, buddy. Spot on. No, I think all good names, all interesting picks. I suppose there's a closing thought with all of this. Just when you're looking at cheap companies or names that have been derated, just be careful to check what you're really looking at. You know,
absolutely,
not every low PE is a bargain. Check it's got actual cash flow, cash coming into the bank, not just accounting profits. Check the business isn't in permanent structural decline. check out for serial equity dilution or dividends that aren't covered. The key question you've got to ask yourself, ultimately, is this business actually misunderstood, or is it completely fundamentally broken and I'm buying a smashed vase and hoping I can sell it as a, rare Chinese antique a few years down the line? And a good example of this, to be perfectly honest, news article that came out this morning from one of our favorites, Peter, Digital Nine Infrastructure Trust, which I
Yes.
used to own, DGI9, has
Yep.
just announced that it has sold, I think it's Arqiva, the telecoms business it had, for
Yep.
about a tenth of what it originally invested. And the shares have dropped another 30% on top of all the rest.
Yeah,
Now,
I
to
got
me, this is a good example of a business where people have said all the way down, and I was doing this at one point, don't worry, the NAV will protect me. Don't worry, the market's got it wrong. Don't worry, it can't possibly be all that bad. Actually, it was worse than any of us could have possibly imagined.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think
So
I mentioned it
when
on it.
hunting for bargains, just be
Yeah,
careful.
I think I mentioned it on here that I'd gone in with a view to it going from 8 pence up to 10 pence and beyond. Yeah, and I had it there with my stop loss on it, and it went up to, I think it went up to about 10 plus on it, and I put my stop in at 8.5, left it there, and it just kept coming down, and I was like, no, don't hit it, don't hit it. Weeks ago, it hit it, and I was like, so I've been watching it, and I still think there's some value there. Maybe I'm just being naive, but today's news was not good. Was not good at
Down
all.
at
And the
5.6p.
concerning thing about, because I've been having this backwards and forwards with a few people about this Trigg and HICL merger. Have you seen that one?
I have,
Yeah.
yep.
And I still don't think that's a good deal for anybody right now. Yeah. And they've been talking about, oh, we're going to come out with information about why we recommend this big with the renewables infrastructure company. But people have chose not to go down the renewables route. Yeah. They want to be on this side of it. And infrastructure valuations of most of these
I
aren't very good.
am. We ought to do an episode on this in the future, I think, because I've got my opinion on renewables is changing rapidly. Well, actually, I say rapidly, changing very, very slowly. But I've got a position in NextEnergy Solar Fund.
Yeah.
I've had a position in the Renewables Infrastructure Group. These businesses, I've had Gore Street Energy Storage Fund, the battery business. I've had a
Yeah.
few of these over time. They are really suffering. And people keep saying to me, "Oh no, don't worry, they're undervalued. Someone will come along. They're a bargain. They are starting to look like a value trap to me, all of them."
They're looking like a value trap because they've been saying all along, we've got X, Y, and Z person in, or group of it, or individuals managing the company, and this is the NAV. So if that is the NAV and that's the value of X, then why are you then selling it at 15, 20% discount to what you said was the NAV?
And they're writing them down. All of them are suffering NAV erosion quarter after quarter after quarter, and have been for years. In case no one had noticed, interest rates have actually been coming down. Therefore, that
Yeah.
ought to have been reversing, and it's not.
Exactamundo. You've nailed it on the absolute head there, mate.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a bit twitchy about the renewables.
I think avoiding that space may be a good idea, mate. Right. I'm recommending this very old book, Henry. Right. It is called The Permanent Portfolio. Yeah. By Harry Brown. Foreword by JD Roth, Craig Rowland, and JM Lawson and Harry Brown. Harry Brown's long-term investment strategy. And essentially I'll read this bit here. Life is uncertain, and that includes the financial markets, Sherlock. Thank you. The fact is that when investing in the real world, you need to be prepared for surprises. Thank you, Sherlock. So why not use an investment approach that takes this into consideration? For a few decades ago, the late Harry Brown, a successful financial advisor and author, created an ingenious investing strategy that did just that. It's called a permanent portfolio, as it is known, and was designed around predicting the future and outsmarting other investors. And their authors are Craig Rowland and J.M. Lawson, who wrote it. So check this book out, Henry. See if you can predict the future.
That could be going on the Christmas list. That looks quite
Christmas
good.
Ball Game. It's quite an old book. I'm trying to remember when it was. When it was
2012, according to Amazon.
There you go. That's how old it is. Yeah. So you might be picking it up quite cheaply. Yeah. Right, Henry, we've done the time.
Yeah.
We've done the time, mate. We've done the yards. I'll try and get this pod out on Friday, folks, for you to enjoy over the weekend. And by the time we see you next, we'll be into December.
Absolutely.
Festive time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mince pie.
The last thing I wanted to say before we go is a little bit of an apology to people that that follow the blog and follow me on social media. I've been very, very quiet the last couple of months. I am absolutely swamped at the office. If you saw my diary most days, you wouldn't believe it. And so it's not that I don't want to engage. It's not that I won't be back. I just am absolutely flat out most of the time at the moment, and so bear with me, there will be more content on the way. I seem to say this every sort of 9 months. I'm doing my best, but if you have written to me and you've not had a reply, do give me a nudge. Bear with me, I've just got an awful lot going on at the moment.
I fully hear that, mate, and I fully understand that as well. So absolutely no worries at all. I think people understand that as well, mate, especially given the size and scale of your job. So look after yourself. Yeah, sometimes you've got to say
best.
I'm not going to do that right now. Yeah, absolutely. I'll put this out here, Henry, just in case we get to do it. Please contact Henry and myself on X and on LinkedIn and on Blue Sky. I'm going to try and put together a gathering online for the next pod, which will be in and around the 7th-ish. Is that right? Only 2 weeks on Wednesday. What date does that give
like
us?
That. Yeah. 2 weeks will be the 10th.
The 10th. For the 10th. Get in touch with me and Henry privately on X, in DMs and so on and so forth, and let us know if you want to participate in an online live Twin Peaks podcast. Provisionally, just let me know and we'll see what numbers we get and see how much interest there is, and see if I want to do something a bit different or something similar to what we've done previously. So let us know. Okay, contact Henry and himself on those different platforms. Henry, that's it, we've done it. Yeah, another
Fantastic.
Hour and a half. All right, mate, thank you ever so much again for being brilliant. Thank you ever so much for going down to Cambridge and smashing it. I'm looking forward to hearing further good things about you being asked to showcase your uber talents, mate. So
Thank
keep
you
on
very
smashing
much,
it.
Pal.
All right. Ladies and gents, that is a wrap for Twin Peaks Investing Podcast 167. It is approximately 8 o'clock. I need to go and have something to eat and relax and go and see my bosses. And I will see you, ladies and gents, in the month of December, when I would have already been eating several mince pies. I've not spoken about mince pies. I'll be speaking about mince pies on the next pod. So let me know what your recommendations are, yeah, regarding the best quality mince pies on your X account. Let me know. Reply and let me know on the tweets. Henry, take care, mate. Go and get some Scoobies. Go and get some rest. Recharge your batteries this weekend. Love to the boss. Yeah. At
I'll
home,
pass
boss.
It along.
Okie dokie, mate. All right. Ladies and gents, take care. God bless. Enjoy the festivities. Have a grand weekend. Stay warm. Stay healthy. Stay kind. Bye-bye, Henry.
Hello, Pete.